Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. It's an all-pundit show with Mike Draper, partner with Argentum Partners, Brian Wachter, Senior Vice President of the Retail Association of Nevada, and Don Tetrode, Executive Director of Public Affairs and Membership for the Builders Association of Northern Nevada. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we've got an all-pundit show today. Great lineup with Mike Draper, partner in Argentum Partners, Brian Wachter is Senior Vice President of the Retail Association of Nevada, and Don Chetro is Director of Public Affairs and Membership for the Builders Association of North Nevada. Brian, I'm going to start with you on the Len Jessup story, and if you can give us a little background here. He's the president of UNLV and was running into some trouble starting about a week ago.
The way I understand it, there were some issues that had surfaced with the dental school and the medical school, and there were concerns that, you know, he might be asked to step down, and I think then some donors who had promised some significant levels of contributions had concerns, so much so that I think one of them had actually built into the gift that if Len was not the president, or if he resigned or fired, that the gift would be rescinded. So I think hopefully that's a bit of a rundown. I think, you know, first of all, I think the regents and the university are responsible for running the university. I think donors are appropriate where they should be, but I question, you know, how some might, you know, feel that they could essentially veto the decision of the Board of Regents. That's interesting to me.
Well, and as things developed, Mike, it's been interesting. Jessup said that he was looking for another job. In the interim, around $39 million of donations were being talked about being rescinded if he were to go, or the head of the medical school were to go. And part of what this was revolving around was that he had gotten a review from Tom Riley, the chancellor of the university system, and there were some areas that the chancellor wasn't happy with. Yesterday, in a stunning announcement, they're looking to hire a CEO who would take over those responsibilities that they felt Jessup was weak in. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think, number one, it's interesting to see, and I think it's great to see, and we've seen a couple examples in the last few years how involved the business community is in our university system. I think that's a good thing. I think, as Brian pointed out, the regents are responsible for running the university, but the business community really needs to get involved in how our universities are doing. And I think that's why they came to this solution, was the business community, and it wasn't just a single donor, as I understand it. It was many, many people recently came out and said they weren't in support of this decision and wouldn't support the university if they went forward with this. And the university, I think, did a pretty good job of troubleshooting that and figuring out a solution that it sounds like is a workable solution that'll allow President Jessup to do what he was doing and keep interfacing with the business community and boosters. And will allow somebody to maybe fill the areas where the regents weren't sure that President Jessup was performing.
Yeah, and we had a couple of the regents talking about how the regents aren't responsible for fundraising. They're responsible for running the system. On the other hand, you have others that say, hey, Tom Riley's the chancellor. He's the one that's running the system. The Board of Regents, you know, are his superiors, but he's the one that's supposed to run the day-to-day operations.
Yeah, I think that is amazing to me how quick this transpired. And what you're seeing is the business community, they're pushing back. We want this workforce. We want to create and establish a culture. And regents, we might need a little help from us on this in the future. So I've been surprised at how quick it all unfolded, and then we've wrapped it up almost and ready to go.
Yeah, and the meetings won't be held until the fall, so there's no imminent danger to President Jessup. But one of the things, Brian, that came out a lot in the articles that were written about this, both in the Las Vegas Sun and in the Las Vegas Review Journal, was that, you know, we've lost so many presidents at UNLV that if this is going to be a Tier 1 university, they need some stability. And who's going to come to the university if, you know, just a couple of members of the Board of Regents don't like, you know, the way you're doing things, and out of a 13-member board, and also the fact that it's a 13-member board?
Yeah, I think, and I would hope that there are operating procedures and things in place for employee evaluations and for what role the Board of Regents play with the chancellor and what he, you know, the role the chancellor plays with the university presidents. I would hope that that was followed. I really hope the system can't be, you know, kind of built up with hurdles with, you know, one or two members of the regents. So I'm not sure I agree that that's kind of the characterization. But I think there's an apparatus in place to do that. Yeah, I would hope that one of these donors might step up and then donate the salary for the COO position that seems to be created so that, you know, you can both be a good community steward from the university president side and both be, you know, an actual university president. So I hope that's part of the conversation. But I think there are ways that this handles itself. And I'll agree. I think it has wrapped itself up. They found a solution, and we'll see if it works.
All right, let's take a break. More with our pundits when we come back.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're on our All Pundits show with Mike Draper, Brian Wachter, and Don Tatro. It was interesting. Chuck Muth put out an interesting piece with an early look at Nevada's 2018 statewide races. And right off starts out talking about Ryan Bundy's entry into the race here. Your thoughts on Ryan Bundy and how this might affect Adam Laxalt, Brian?
I think Adam has been running a good campaign. He's been, you know, around the state. He's been making those entries. He's been, I think in every county, he's, you know, back and forth in all those cities. I think it's a little late in the game for, you know, someone to really be able to play the role of a spoiler. I think Adam's going to have a tough time being able to bring and unite enough people in order to be able to win an election, but I know he's capable of it, and I fully expect that to be, you know, resolved come November. So I think Adam is going to be able to pull it off, and I think he'll bring those folks that might be interested in those other races ultimately to his side, and I think in November.
And also, Don, you know, isn't it a question of money here? I mean, it's hardly likely to see that Ryan Bundy would be able to raise the kind of money, even as an independent candidate.
I think so. I think him being an independent candidate hurts a little more. You have almost a Ross Perot situation where you could leak enough votes there to hurt Adam. But, you know, like Brian said, I think Adam's put together a great coalition. I think he is going to get those people together. And now he's going to have to focus a little more on what was kind of wrapped up in the rural area. It'll be a distraction. But I think he's probably going to be the successor to Sandoval.
Let's talk about Steve Sisolak and Christian Cugliani. This is going to be a fascinating race because you have... I've been talking to some Democratic leadership people recently, and they're concerned that if Chris G is not the candidate, that a lot of Democrats are just going to stay home.
Well, there was the poll that came out last night from PPP or yesterday in the last couple of days that showed that maybe some of the favorability or the blue wave that is discussed all over the country might not be quite that way in Nevada. And I think that it's and for that matter, and there, President Trump's favorability might be a little higher with Democrats than most of us would have expected. And granted, that's just one poll. But I think if you take that into account and you compare and contrast Steve Sisolak and Chris G., I think that, to your point, if Chris G is the one that gets the nomination, and with what we're seeing with how Democrats might view President Trump, some Democrats might view President Trump in this state, I think the pro-business candidate has clearly positioned himself as Steve Sisolak. And if he's not the one that wins, I think you might see a lot of people stay home.
You know, one of the issues that comes up, Brian, is the Raiders Stadium. And you know, there's talk about unfavorability towards the Raiders Stadium from Northern Nevada, but I just don't see it.
Yeah, I'm not sure I've seen that. I know there was some indigestion about the training facility or, you know, some of those things that maybe some of the Northerners kind of had hoped or expected to come out of it. But I just don't see that. I see or the news that you hear is a very optimistic and positive community that are looking forward to having it there. You know, I think the time for the debate over the finances and everything was before. And now I think people are looking forward. They're interested. They're seeing progress. The community is concerned, of course, that it's done correctly, but I think it's excited. So I'm not sure that's the huge negative that some folks are hoping for or you know are anticipating.
And I'm not a big sports fan, as I've said before in this program, but I don't mind paying $2 extra on my room night in Las Vegas. We're going to get a stadium and a football team that's amazing, and the possibility of Adele concerts with 60,000 people screaming and cheering.
I think there's some people in Northern Nevada that are still looking for reasons to get everybody in Northern Nevada riled up about the stadium. As you know, Northern Nevada has no liability with that stadium, effectively. Like you said, it's a $2 room tax. As Brian mentioned, there's been little flare-ups in Northern Nevada about there not being the training facility. The training facility was never discussed as being in Northern Nevada. It was always discussed as being in Southern Nevada. Now, training camp is still being discussed as being in Northern Nevada, and that was discussed early on. Sam, as you know, we worked on that project, and we took the president of the Raiders around, and he sincerely met with several people all over Northern Nevada to begin to identify training camp sites, and that's still on the table, but they had to get the seasonal training facility taken care of in Southern Nevada. So I think when you start to explain the mechanics of that, I think a lot of people understand that. There's still some people up here that would love to get everybody fired up about it. I'm not sure the reason why.
Are they politicians more than regular folks?
Oh, I think it's a combination. There's some politicians that would love to make that a hot button issue. I think there's some members of the media, for that matter, that for whatever reason were pretty upset about that project. And it's already panning out better than was expected. And granted, it's early. But I do think there's some people that would love to use that for their own personal gain. Funny enough, Commissioner June Cugliani was very opposed to that stadium in Southern Nevada. I haven't heard her in Northern Nevada really trying to rally people around that, which I think a lot of people expected.
Tom, in your circles, what are you hearing?
I think this is one of those things where the people who were against it are still against it and still trying to like you said, gin up some animosity towards the project, and I don't think it's gained traction. I don't think it will. I think most of Nevada is excited to get a pro team. We know that Vegas is a great venue for something like that, and I think it's going to be successful, and it already has proven to be a great success. So I just haven't heard the negative backlash to it, except for a few, I guess you call them the vocal minority in this situation.
All right, let's take a break. More with our All Pundit Show when we come back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue on with our All Pundit Show. We've got Don Tatro here, Mike Draper, and Brian Wachter. You think it's going to be, Brian, a brutal race on the lieutenant governor's side between Michael Robeson and former Assemblyman Brent Jones?
No, I don't. I think Senator Roberson, has been working on this. I think through some of the legislation he's done, he's got a career of being able to work with the business community to be able to find solutions. You know, when he's interested in it, he's willing to work in the with the other side. I think he comes very prepared to step into that role. The one session that we saw Brent Jones in the assembly, I think the Retail Association, we scored him one of the worst anti-business legislators that we've ever had. So I think when you kind of compare their records and what they've been able to do, I think Senator Roberson is kind of the clear choice in that race.
Mike, do you see Craig Mueller getting any traction against Wes Duncan?
I don't. I think you were just chatting about Adam Laxalt and Ryan Bundy earlier. I think it's a similar situation. I think Wes has been everywhere. He's spent a bunch of time in rural and northern Nevada, and has. I think he's been anticipating that. I think when Wes has won session in the assembly, he worked very well with the business community, worked very well with other legislators, and I think that a lot of people remember that. So I don't see there being much traction or that causing even much dissent in the primary.
All right. Don, you got anything to add to that?
No, I think those are all... Wes has been up here, and he's gone and visited the right people. I think he comes across as a good candidate with a solid path to victory. I think Roberson's aligned himself and shown to be a proven leader. So all these races you talk about, I think it's already a clear path to victory for the front runners.
Brian, it was interesting. The Gwynn Center had their fourth anniversary party last week, and the governor was being interviewed by Mary Bell Batcher. And one of the things he brought up, of course, was the fact that he, as the governor, despite the fact that there'll be a new governor in place next year, will be the one that builds the next budget. What do you think that budget's going to look like?
Well, I think we'll see a budget that looks relatively like, I think, last year or last cycle's or session's budget. I think he's going to want to continue the success that he's had on some of his programs. I think he's going to want to be able to address some issues that maybe are lingering that he'd like to be able to see on a budget side. And then, of course, you know, whoever his successor is, will get a chance to kind of come in there and use that budget to then present to the legislature on their priorities. But I think we'll see Sandoval continue those legacies, continue the programs that he's been championing, for these 8 years. And I don't expect we'll have many surprises.
Mike?
I think the same thing. I think maybe you'll see some more funding for further increase in some education priorities, and certainly I know the governor's staff has been working hard on a variety of healthcare priorities as they're preparing for him to leave the office and wanting to leave that legacy. So I think you'll see some additional healthcare dollars on some various initiatives, but I don't think it's going to be dramatically different than what we saw last year.
Do you think that if Adam Laxalt becomes the next governor, that the first thing that's going to happen in the state of the state is getting rid of the commerce tax?
I think there'll definitely be a push for it. You know, how you get that done in that quick a time, I don't know, but I know he has an appetite to remove it. He's spoken to that several times. Back to the budget, I think it's going to be interesting to see how he sort of puts up his priorities and his legacy versus, I'd love to see the first year he took office, what that budget looked like, right? It's amazing the transformation we've seen during his tenure. So I would love to see the comparison of, hey, this was what we came in here with, and this is what I'm leaving with.
Well, I have to share with you, if you want to go back and look at the debates, and they're on the NevadaNewsmakers.com website, of he and Rory Reid, we did two shows back-to-back with them debating. And both of them said, no new taxes, no new taxes, no new taxes, no new taxes. Well, that didn't quite pan out.
Is there a candidate that's ever not said that?
Well,
I mean, that was Senator Reid when he first ran for Senate. He, you know, his mantra is a blue dog as well.
Yeah, to say the least. We saw Michael Yakira in the Nevada Independent write an editorial against the energy initiative. And then John Wellinghoff, fireback, former FERC chair. And this is going to be quite the fiery battle with $30 million coming in on MV Energy side. Don, you want to take this one?
Not really.
Mike?
I think we're in for a show on this one. And I think MV Energy has really stepped in and is going to come with a lot more than what we've seen in the kind of the neutral position previously.
To say the least, Mike.
Well, I think, and you even saw it in those two editorials you mentioned, I think it's going to come down to credibility. I think you've seen MV Energy really focus and on a public-facing campaign about what they do for the communities that they're in. And I think that, as John Wellinghoff pointed out, when you've got Michael Yakira, who's made a lot of money from MV Energy and you know, has a lot of interest in seeing how their well-being, you start to question the credibility of what's coming out of there. So I think this is going to be, like you said, this is going to be a pretty intense 8 months when it comes to the Energy Choice Initiative. But I think it's really going to come down to credibility. And I think that obviously is going to carry into the legislature also, because our legislators are going to have to deal with this. And our legislators, I know, are looking at this carefully and already starting to figure out what kind of policy needs to go in around it should this pass.
And Brian, one of the people that has not really spoken out loudly yet, but will be on this program in the next couple of weeks, is former chairman of MV Energy, Phil Satre. And you talk about credibility. There's a guy with credibility.
Oh, absolutely. And I think what everyone has said is correct. You know, I think it's going to be interesting to see the impact that this particular ballot question has on the overall ballot in November. I mean, $30 million on one side is a heck of a chunk of change. I'm sure it's going to be matched, if not dollar-dollar, then effort by effort on the other side. And how is that going to play a role in the governor's race and everything kind of down ticket? I'm worried that it's going to kind of seep into those races. So I think it'll be interesting to see how the whole ballot reacts to some of those ballot questions.
And that's where we have to leave it. Gentlemen, great show. Thank you all very much. And we'll be right back.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada, and we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
Check out Nevada Newsmakers online at NevadaNewsmakers.com, or you can go to iTunes and Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you on the next broadcast.